Good morning. I hope you can see me. I can't see you. I can see two bright lights. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the privilege of speaking to you. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. We've been away to South Africa for quite a few weeks, and then we came back and we visited our son at Kentucky, but we're glad to be back with you here this morning. I wanted you to think about the book of Esther with me. A very interesting book. You know, it's a unique book. Why? Can you tell me? There's only two books like that in the whole Bible. Sorry, I'm old and deaf.
Never mentions God.
Yeah, this is the only book that doesn't mention God. But there's another book that's the same category as Esther. Name starts with an R. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that you are taking part in this sermon, because I wanted you to do that. You know, the book of Esther is the only book also that was not found among the Dead Sea Scrolls. I'm not sure why. It's about the only book in the Bible that where God is somehow hidden. He doesn't appear with all his full glory. And for some people, that book is too secular a book even to read. But it's a very interesting book. Indeed, very, very interesting. There are three stories in the book of Esther. And all these three stories might be summarized as the story of who knows. Who knows? You heard the story about the preacher? Did you hear that story? No one heard that story? Of course not. I have not told you the story. He said he was a good preacher. Oh, he could really preach. People came with repentance. He was a mighty preacher, he said. And one day, as he was trying to preach again on a Sabbath morning, he couldn't make any progress. He tried to get out of this mud and try to say something meaningful, but he just couldn't progress. And as he was struggling ahead, one of the older sisters right in the back of the church, he jumped on her feet and said, "Lord, help the preacher, he's dying." No, I don't want you to see me dying here right in front. You must help the preacher. Who knows? Would you like to repeat those words with me? Who knows? Who knows why you are here this morning? Who knows? Who knows why you in the Sunnyside Church this morning? And the words "who knows" is not a search for empirical data or information. It's a question going down into the existential depths of our lives and encounter with ourselves and with our God. Who knows? Who knows? Now let me introduce the first story to you. Story of King Ahasuerus, king of Persia, also called Xerxes. He is quite an interesting character. He is celebrating the riches of his kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty. So says the book of Esther. We don't know a lot about Ahasuerus But we know he was quite an emotionally unbalanced character. And we could surely see that he was a party animal. Because how long was he partying? Can you remember? How long? Half a year long. And then when the feast came to an end, he said, no, I want all the people of Shushan to come along. I want to celebrate another week. Now with him, of course, there were quite a few of his high officials. Esther says, the nobles and the princes, they were gathered there too. And there were also a lot of wine, you know, and wine can make one very jolly for a little while. But it can also be dangerous. And these guys, these princes, they were chatting and bragging and referring to all their wonderful stuff. I've got the better horses than you. I've got a faster chariots. I've got a better cattle than you. And ultimately, the climax always... I've got a more beautiful wife than you. Now, I don't want you to argue with me because I've got the most beautiful wife in all Fresno and California and United States. There she sits, Emily, you know. And Emily, would you like to come and parade for us here that the people can see? And this is where Asphir has made his great mistake. He says, man, what do you people know about beauty? Let me show you a beautiful girl. Vashti, come here. And he made a terrible mistake because Queen Vashti is not only beautiful, she is smart. Oh yes, she's not going to be taken easily in and then parade for a lot of chauvinistic drunken men. No, she's far smarter than that. No, and maybe, you know, while thinking about it, people say nowadays we have this feministic movement. I think, I don't want to blame her, but I think Vashti started the feminist movement years ago, you know. I'm not going to listen to you men, you know. She was a very smart lady, indeed. But with that, in that party, there was a lot of princes, governors, noble people. But we soon come to know that they are a lot of desperate small people. When Vashti made that statement, they ran for cover. And in the pathetic way, they cried and shouted to King Ahasuerus and says, "Yes, King, save us." Read with me, "For the queen's behavior will become known to all women, so that they will despise their husbands in their own eyes." This seems to me so funny and a lot of humor coming to the front here. Strong men that can kill 100 like Saul and 1,000 like David, and now they're running for cover. They're being afraid of one woman, eh? You know, and we can see them from under the bed shouting to King Ahasuerus, "Please, King, issue a decree. Please issue a decree that all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small." What a pathetic involvement. You know, there's 10 verses that were set aside for this description and how these people reflected on what Vashti did. That must have been important. And King Xerxes, Ahasuerus, he said, "Well, let's do it." So he issued that decree. No, unknowingly that God is working in all of this. When he got disposed of Queen Vashti, God incorporated him as a servant for a greater celebration that is later to come. The second story is a very tragic story. Indeed, very, very tragic. The story of how Haman was promoted to the prime minister of Persia. And he was so well aware of his high position, you know. And he commanded strict obedience and worship from all the people in Shushan. But there was one guy, he was noticing him. Didn't bow low enough. And you know, when you meet these small people with high positions, you must bow very low before them. They can become angry. Let me warn you, you know. And Haman didn't like that. No, he didn't like that, you know. And he was able to manipulate King Xerxes. And he got the decree or the right to exterminate all the Jews in the kingdom of Persia. All the women, all the children, go get rid of them, hang them on the gallows. This is a story. The second story in the book of Esther is a sad story, a story of bitterness, a story of hate, a story seeking after revenge. But in that story, there's also innocent suffering people. Mordecai and even Esther is involved in here, but of course she has to go to the king and to try to save God's people. Suffering and pain is always part of a Christian's life. The demons of this world will always be with us, terrorizing us. And well, through the ages, it was always, they were always there, you know. Many years ago, I visited Israel and Jerusalem and going through the Holocaust Museum, I looked to all those pictures. And I saw one picture of those poor mothers. There it is. Mothers with their small children arriving at that concentration camp. Photo number two. Those small children were torn away from their mothers while they were crying. Photo number three. They were thrown into the gas chambers. Photo number four. A chimney and a smoke out of that chimney. Witnessing of burning small children's bodies. This world had its suffering and its pain. And a few of us will be spared for that, I hope, more than that. But you know, when I stood there, I asked myself the question, God, why? Why must there be death and destruction and bitterness and hate in the heart of human beings? Why did this happen so often in our world? Why did this happen? I didn't know the answer, but I knew one thing. There were many good German Christians that kept silent while this was happening in Germany. The Catholic Church kept silent while this was happening. The Luther Church, except Bonhoeffer and a few of his friends, kept silence. And with due respect to the Adventist Church, we kept silence in Germany when this happened. The story of tragedy and pain and suffering. Who knows? Who knows? A few years ago in South Africa, they did a documentary about all the beauty queens in Miss South Africa, and some of them became Miss Universe, and they found all of them, and they tracked down who they married, and were they happy, and most of them, about all of them, you know, married, maybe random, I'm not sure, rich husbands, and they were, most of them were very happy, except for one. They couldn't find her. And then searching for months, ultimately found her in a backward suburb of Johannesburg, biggest city in South Africa. And there, in almost a deserted apartment, one-room apartment, she was living, and the next-door neighbors were criminals. And they had an interview with you. She was only about 50 years old, but she looked like a lady of over 80 years. They had the interview with her, and she asked what happened. She said, when I became, and she was the third universe running up. She said, what happened? You see, when I was Miss South Africa, I had a lot of money and a lot of friends. And after a year or two or three, I had less money and fewer friends. And after more years passed, I had even less friends and less money. And ultimately, sir, here I sit, deserted by about every human being around me. Sometimes I have to go down on the streets and search in the trash can for a piece of bread and food to eat. Maybe there's someone here this morning has been terrorized by the Hamans of this life, abused and used and thrown in somewhere as a hopeless human being. This world is a cruel world. It's a world of the Hamans, with bitterness in their heart and a longing to revenge them on people they do not like. But this is not the only story. We've got another story. And this is the wonderful story, the last story of the book of Esther, God's redemption story. And this is what the book of Esther is all about. There is hope. There is hope this morning for people that have been terrorized by the Hamans of this world that is searching for a piece of bread in the trash cans of this world. There is hope. We can stand up. Yeah, there is hope. We can stand up when we can live with hope and claim Jesus' victory for our own hearts. We do not need to sit behind in the mud behind the pigs searching for the withered legumes. No, we do not need to do that. There is hope, and this is what that story is all about. You know the story of Mordecai and Hadassah. Hadassah is Persian name is Esther, of course. She was an orphan little girl. Mordecai, her cousin, took her in. And she grew. And then King Ahasuerus, he had that beauty competition. Now, don't ask me what the Adventists are doing on one of these beauty competitions. I'm not sure. I'm still working on that one. But she won the title Miss Universe, Miss Shushan. And when Ahasuerus saw, he said, I like what my eyes are seeing. You are the queen of Persia. She've got promotion. Yes. And their name changed from Hadassah to Esther. She became queen of Persia. And when one day Haman was building his gallows there in Shushan, and Mordecai knew this is the end. He's going to destroy the whole Jewish nation. This is serious business. You know what he do? You know what he did? He fell on his knees and he said, Lord, I pray you for a spark of lightning to just throw it on Haman. Take this guy out. No. He knows of something better. If there's bitterness in your heart, there is something better than revenge. He knows of a living God. He knows of a rock of ages where we can find refuge. And he sent a message to Queen Esther. He says, Esther, my girl, and I wish now that we don't have the full conversation between Esther and Mordecai. He says, Esther, my girl, you must go to the king and you may have to go and save us. And I can see when that note arrived there. Esther she jumps on the laptop, I can see. And she starts typing away. She says, are you mad, Mordecai, going to the king? Sorry, you've knocked at the no address. I'm in a field of cosmetics. I'm a beauty queen. I'm the queen of Persia. Maybe you don't know it. No, I don't want to get involved in your social political actions. I am here to as a servant for the king and not for your cause. Sorry, Mordecai. Sorry. And then Mordecai, I think he was a poor guy. He didn't have a laptop. He just sent a note to Esther. And he said, Esther, my little girl, I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story. You were an orphan. You didn't have a mom and a dad. God spoke to my heart to take you in. You didn't have a house to go, a room or a bed to sleep. But I took you in, Esther. I took you in. You were not born to be a queen of Persia, but to be a queen in the kingdom of God. You're not born to sit on your lazy boy in front of the Persian television all day long. You were born to stand up to fight God's cause. And those everlasting words, Esther, Esther, who knows why you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows? Who knows why you are here this morning? Who knows why you have come here this morning? Maybe you think it's not serious, but I think it's very serious. God has a master plan, I believe. He has a plan for this world, there's a plan for our lives. Esther didn't any longer heard the voice of Mordecai, but she heard through Mordecai's voice the voice of a living God. And she responded. She responded. He said, I wish you what I could have known what she said to herself. You know what? Maybe she said, and I think this is what she said to herself. I can live another 50 years in this palace. And then King will retire me in one of his retirement home. And my face after 50 years will be full of wrinkles. But what then? I would have then have lost my mission and my task and my humanity. No. No. No, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up, and if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. And this is where the Purim feast comes from, you know, they're celebrating. Haman planned to kill all the Jews on the 13th of February, the month of Adar, the 3rd of the February, and the Jews are celebrating that feast on the 14th, on the 15th of the month. The question that's coming to us this morning is, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for... I can't see when you're sleeping here, but I'm going to take a flashlight now. For? As this for such a time. What are you doing here this morning? You think it's by chance, randomness that you are here? Oh no. We're here for such a time. Episodic time in space right here now this morning. You know the Greek word, there's two Greek words for time. One you know is chronos. That's time in passage, time that is moving, you know, and that's not a nice thing. I don't like this kind of time, you know. Only a couple of days ago, I was 16 years old, and 2 months ago, I married Emily. We were young people, and now I can't take it. Don't tell me I'm going for the 70s now. I don't want to accept that, you know. Chronos, I don't like chronos. It's and you can't fixate it. You can't stand still. It's impossible to take hold of chronos and to say stand still, chronos. But there's another different kind of time, and that is kairos. Have you heard of that word? Kairos. Kairos, the word kairos. And you know, this is a quality of time. What we can do with the chronos, the opportunities in life, passing opportunities, what we can do, we can, yes, make it special moments in our own life and make it a chronos, a quality of time. We can go out and we can touch our own soul. We can listen to our own child really when he's speaking to us. We can go and touch, who knows, someone else. And that memory will how long stay with you? Forever and ever. You fixate that time by the kairos moment. And this is what what Mordecai is telling Esther. Who knows why you have come to the kingdom for such a time? For such a time as this. And when we speak that we are God's special people, and I want to speak very careful, because speciality doesn't come from joining a church or believing in some doctrine. But 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, we are unique, we are a peculiar people. It comes from the word peripoiesis, referring to people that knows what happened at Calvary, the Kairos. God sent His Son into this world to die for us. This is people that got hold of the benefits and the graces and the hope of Calvary and can plow it back in their own lives and into the lives of others. Kairos. Yes, God wants us to go out, maybe to our own soul, to the lives of other people. Who knows why you are here this morning? And I'm almost half through the sermon, Pastor Dennis. I can't smell the food yet, so I can. We have lunch 4 o'clock every time in our, every day now. No, I'm almost finished, don't worry. Why am I here? I remember as a young man, 13, 14 years old. Can you believe I was the tallest guy in my class until 13 years old? I played for my school rugby team in South Africa, and we always beat the Wallabies. In the scrum. And I'm not sure if someone kicked me against my head, but I stopped growing. And I said, Lord, I want to go to Hollywood. I want to be a movie actor. And I did my best. I measured myself every day, and I didn't want to grow in front of my friends. I was the nasty friends. Yeah, you put some chicken manure under your feet, and you'll start growing. And I even did that, and it didn't help me at all. Why? Who knows? Who knows? The stuff is that random. I don't want to believe that. No. I cannot believe that. I grew up in a very humble home, in a very humble suburb of Johannesburg. This is where I grew up. One day you want to come with me, I'll show you. It's not a good place. We were poor. Shall I ever forget those days? I think I was the only person coming out of that suburb that ever went to university and got a doctorate. By God's grace, thank God, thank God. We were poor. But now mom knows how to budget. You know what she did? I had three older brothers. She bought a set of clothes for my oldest brother. And then he wore it for 3 years. And then she passed it to my second eldest brother. And he wore it for 2-3 years. And then he passed it on to my third eldest brother. And I was the youngest. And after quite a few years, I became the proud owner of a set of clothes that I think more belong in a museum than on the body of a small young man. And I remember one day, the pants of one of those set of clothes, you didn't have to have any imagination to look right through them at the back, you know. And my mom took a round piece of cloth and she sewed right on the reverse side of the pants. You know, when I grew up, there was that old cars. You remember that spare wheels that behind? I see it's now becoming a new fashion again. You know that old cars? They had that spare wheel, not on the, but at the back. The back, the spare wheel. And so I said to my mom, Mama, do you think I can go to school with this pants? She said, why not? I will never forget the words. She said, Gerard, it's not a shame to be poor, but to be lazy and dishonest, that's a shame. So I said, Mama, okay, I understand your high principles, but you think I can wear the pants here at the home? She said, no, you go to school. That's the only pants that you have. You go to school. So I went to school, and the fence, I walked with my backside to the fence. That my children, they are so ugly, you know. And one of them spot me, and he cried out, "Oh, old spare wheel is here today. Old spare wheel is here today." And that hurt me deep. Why? Who knows? Why couldn't I be the only and one son of Bill Gates? Who knows? I would not have been here. I can promise you that if that was the case. God knows. God knows where He's going with us. Oh, yes. Why are you here this morning? Is it random? Why do you look like you look and think and live? You are what you are here this morning. You can accept that as chance and mere luck? No, no, not at all. No, I come not willing to accept it. Who have you seen that movie, The Man Who Knew Too Much? Who have you anyone who sees old movies? No one? Oh, I'm sure you know something about that movie. Doris Day, you know Miss Doris Day? Yeah, you know Miss Doris Day. Okay, she sang a song in that movie. It started with this. When I was a child in school, I asked my teacher, "What will I try? Should I paint pictures? Should I sing songs?" This was her wise reply. Kesara, Sarah, whatever will be, the future is not mine to see. Hey, Sarah, Sarah, no, my dear friends. I do not want to criticize Miss Doris Day or that song here this morning, but no, I can never, never in life accept that what will be. I believe in a living God. And His providence. And that's why I'm standing here. And this is why you're sitting there. God has a master plan for our lives. Yes, He has a master plan for our lives. Do you believe that? This brown, is it brown, that bottom part? That should be black. But anyhow, dark in the night, 12 o'clock in the night. I was traveling back home. Elder, head elder with me. I was a young pastor at Nelspruit. Nelspruit is a closer town to the Kruger National Park. About 12 o'clock, as I was traveling home with the head elder, we were visiting people. A car sped past us, high speed. We could see its lights. And then suddenly it disappeared from the road. And I said to brother, his name is Wally. I said, "Wally, what happened to that car?" He said, "Pastor, I don't know." And then as we passed the spot where we last seen the car, we stopped. And there the car was lying in the high elephant grass. Elephant grass grow more taller than 6 feet. And his light, headlights were stern, shining. And we went to the car and the front window was gone. And there was no one in the car. And a distance close to the road where the car was lying, there was a trail road, and we could see the train coming. And we said to each other, "I wonder what happened. What happened to the occupants of that car?" But it's night. It's dark. We didn't really have a light, a small little torch, a flashlight. And then ultimately we found this huge guy. He also played rugby. A huge fellow, 7.5 feet tall. He was lying there in the grass. He was the only occupant of this car. You know, when he went through the front window, the metal of the part of the top of the car cut his head, all his hair off, and his brains was open. And every time his heart was beating, the blood was sprouting from his head like this. Oh, the most terrible scene I've ever seen. And then deep in my heart, I want to say to Wally, the head elder, I say, "Wally, we had, and this, the days before, there were cell phones." I said, this guy going to die. Maybe we should just leave him. My dad was saying for my own heart, because we can't. It's a long way back to the road, and it's uphill. It's an embankment. How will we ever get there? And but we said, no, no, who knows? Who knows? Who knows God's plan for people? I can't give up. We should do something. And there was no hope. The road was rather still. No cars. 12 o'clock the night on that road. And we got him somehow on a blanket, and the pastor and brother Wally, the elder, was taking in the front, and I was at the back. And as you may witness yourself this morning, I'm not the strongest of men that ever lived. You know, every minute I have to rest and say, Wally, man, we can't do this. And he said, let's go, let's go. And we struggled almost right up to the road. And that moment, a little Volkswagen Beetle sped past us. And about a quarter mile being away, he stopped. Throw on the brakes. You can even smell it. And he kicked over the door. This happened suddenly. And he started running to us. And when he came close to this man that was lying there on the blanket, he looked at this guy and he said, oh God, all I ever forgot those words. He says, oh God, this is my brother. Oh God, this is my brother that is dying. And then he walked around this guy and he looked from the other side. And I was very close to him. And I heard him whispering to himself, no, thank you. God, this is not my brother. And you know what he did? You know what he did? He ran back to little Volkswagen Beagle. He jumped in his car and sped off the same speed that he stopped there. And in that dark night, he left only the two of us to try to save this man's life. Who knows? Who knows? We were able to get this guy to the hospital. A miracle happened. He didn't die. Now, after months being in the hospital, I visited him. They sent him home, but he had a permanent, very serious brain damage. And I went to visit him in his home, poor home. And I went into the home. I heard him crying and shouting from his bedroom. Terrible things. And his poor little children were filled with fear. Because they've got a dad that they don't know anymore. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows, my dear Esthers? Who knows? Who knows why God sent him that evening? And why did he jump in his car and left us alone? Maybe you could have made a difference for those small children, who knows? But who knows, why are you here? Why are you here this morning? Who knows? Maybe there is someone you need to go and touch. Maybe you need to go to me and touch your own heart. You see, the most difficult person I have to communicate with, you guess, who's he? Sorry? Myself. Myself. Who knows, maybe you should go back to your own heart and tell your heart about the great redemption story of Jesus and the preciousness of his grace. Maybe you should go out and touch someone else, and metaphorically speaking, of the healing power of Jesus this morning. I know you're asking my question. Said, Pastor, I'm not a queen. I'm not Esther. I'm not even beautiful. I'm not a king. How can I make a difference in this world? How can I save anyone? How can I? You know what the chaos theory is telling? Who knows what the chaos theory is all about? Anyone of you, chaos theory? It functions very much in a climate weather situation. Thank you. Those wise men tell us that a butterfly beating its wings in Japan might cause Hurricane Christina. Hurricanes all over America. Is that possible? At first, I didn't understand it. Then I've come to know what happened. A butterfly clapping its wings caused a small, tiny, insignificant, almost change in the waves, the light air waves. And that air waves may be supported by other natural phenomena. And it grows stronger and stronger and stronger. And when it goes over the Atlantic Ocean, it builds up real power. And when it comes to the Gulf of Mexico, it is a mighty hurricane. Who knows? Never mind how ordinary or small you are this morning. Who knows? You and I, we can make a difference. Yes, we can make a difference. Oh, Spirit of God, that is my prayer this morning. Blow over the heart of Gerard. Blow over his dry bones. Blow from all four winds. Blow, blow. So that I can stand, communicate with my own heart and really hear you speaking with me. Who knows? Amen.